Welcome to Savage Starlight, the officially unofficial podcast for The Last of Us on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're here for our instant talk, instant take, whatever, instant podcast for the first episode, premiere of the series. I feel like I want to get right into it and just say, what'd you think? Because that's what everybody cares about.
I thought this was a great first episode of The Last of Us. I thought it was the pace was great. I thought they picked a great spot to end the episode on. I thought the twin prologues were super effective. I think it's smart to not show too much, you know, zombie action. I thought the tendrils were fucking creepy and very cool. The gut punch delivered at the end of the second prologue delivered. This is a fan-fucking-tastic Joel.
Oh, yeah.
This is a really good Ellie, and I think we're going to, by the end, say, like, yeah, this is a really, really good Ellie. But, like, man, that just fuck you, and fuck you too, pal, energy that Ellie has just really just pours through every pore of Bella Ramsey's body.
Every spore, yeah. That's the word you're looking for.
Every spore and every pore. The fucking sets, the costuming is just, like, perfect. I thought this was an amazing start. What about you, Jim?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's everything clicked. I thought so much so that this is one of those shows where I wish I didn't know about and was not like very familiar with the source material. I feel like it did it a disservice by going back and playing the game because it is very the game.
A lot of dialogue ripped wholesale shots, out of it.
Shots directly from cutscenes from the game. I guess I would say like they made some changes, definitely with some character introductions and stuff that I thought were smart, given that this is not a game you're playing, but a TV show you're watching. But yeah, man, I was very impressed by what I saw.
And I noticed that like several reviewers who have seen multiple episodes, in some cases the entire season, have tended to say this is the weakest episode because I guess this was the original director that got fired and they kind of cribbed things together and they said there's a couple of hiccups and presumably when they're talking about the long first person sequence, they're talking about the truck adventure. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I see the herky jerkiness. There's like one part in the last third of this episode where it feels literally like the episode skipped a few frames or maybe skipped a scene. It just didn't. But like honestly, I don't know that anyone but people that played the video games and know exactly what's going on would notice that. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it really is jarring to you if you don't have played the video games. You're like, why the fuck? What happened? Why are they calling Veronica Ellie now? And what's like there's just something missing for me, but everything else just worked at such a high level. And again, everything I've heard says that this is kind of like the roughest episode. So if this is the worst one, the one that has the highest risk of not working, then brah fucking vo is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I guess the points where, and let me say this up front, if you didn't listen to our preview cast and you're just tuning in now, we're not going to do spoilers. So we're not here to like say, we know so much about the game and here's what they did from the game, here's what they didn't do from the game.
Absolutely.
This is a TV show. I'm hoping it'll stand on its own. I can't help but be like have the feelings I'm feeling about the show based on my familiarity with the game. I do wonder, like, the big thing that stuck out to me is the mystery. It's not even really that much of a mystery though, because they kind of go over it in the first episode, but this idea that Ellie could be immune, I don't know, because I knew it the entire time, and so I'm watching it, I'm going, well, this is not a mystery to me, but are they doing the mysteries well? Are they telling that story? And I think they did a couple of times. They would be like, oh yeah, here's a message from the radio, right? And it says something, but we don't know what. And she's like, is this real? And that like piques your interest and it really makes you wonder like what's going on here. But then when they reveal it, I felt like it was like a half off screen reveal, because a lot of that time during the reveal is spent with Joel.
Well, so like, I think what you're supposed to understand is the viewer, like, you are beyond the, like, not quite at the third Steve Martin reveal, but I think you're on the either looking at your cell phone or less perceptive viewers. If you don't understand what's going on beginning of the episode, Joel is in the dark. Mm-hmm. That's the tension, and they're going to resolve it. The resolution of that will be next episode. And the thing is, as I thought about that, it's like, I think it would be better if they I don't know. Part of me wondered if it would be better if they resolved that in this episode, but then what the hell do you start next episode? Next episode is going to have like this big rant, rip-roaring argument and, you know, kind of like what the fuck is going on, a little bit of exposition. So like, I think you leave it a little bit missed, but like, I think, again, I don't know. Like, I never thought that Ellie being immune was a mystery. It was,
well, it's in the trailer,
the video game. No, I'm saying even when I was the Last of Us video game was being marketed, it's like you are escorting a girl who's mysteriously immune to a zombie virus that's been affecting the earth for 20 years, and you got to escort her to blah, blah, blah. Like, that was like fucking on the back of the box, if they still had back of the boxes, you know? So I'm like, who fucking cares? Like, this is not a spoiler. It's the premise of the fucking show. Moby Dick is about a white whale. The Tale of Two Cities is about... I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not a fucking spoiler. So, I would have been shocked if they would have kept like it a little bit... I was worried, actually, that they weren't going to deal with it at all and just like kick it to episode two. And I'm like, well, that's going to be kind of a bummer to talk around, but...
No, yeah. It's really hard to calibrate, though, like knowing... about that and knowing where all of this goes and stuff. It's like, man, how do I properly judge like how effectively they told that story? Because they're not telling me that story. They're telling people who haven't seen the story.
Yeah. I mean, I was processing. I mean, I'll be surprised if people, like, if there's, you know, a lot of people who, again, were paying attention and watching the episode. And also, yeah, I mean, you can't account for people to just tune in. You know, it's like, oh, I've heard this Last of Us. I'm saying they haven't watched any trailers. They haven't seen any of the advertising, any of the, you know. But like, again, it's like if it's the premise of the show. I think it's well established by this episode. So, like, I guess that's a possible weakness in your eye that they're
That's the problem. I really don't know. I can't like calibrate on it. The thing that really I loved about this episode, the best scene, the entire thing to me is the death of Sarah. I thought that was extremely well done, extremely affecting. They waste no time at the beginning showing you like this is a model daughter-father relationship they've got going on. Like, yeah, they're not perfect. Like,
that's what I'm saying, it's not even model. Late. Yeah, that's
well,
the point.
It is. It's like I don't know father-daughter goals, right? Like this. They forgive each other. They're not perfect. Right. They know that. They realize that. They understand each other. They care about each other. They love each other. And then that happens. And it's just so fucking devastating. And the way they put it on screen here, it got me. It got me, man.
I was super choked up.
Even though I know it's coming, right? Like, I know exactly. And it happens exactly like in the game.
Exactly. Yeah.
It still got me. So, bravo.
Yeah, when that zombie got shot in the head, I'm like, oh, fuck, it's Tommy. But I'm like, oh, no, it's not Tommy. Uh-huh. And then as soon, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, they did that perfect. And even bracing for it, it's and knowing it's coming, I thought it was, you know, again, I'm a dad. It doesn't take much to hit that button. But even so, it was like ding, 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 ding. It was really hitting that button for me.
Yeah, it's like Tuco.
And the cell that like
shitting his pants and ringing his button. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's like they bring that back, and you know, when suddenly Joel's got a gun on him, some official that's got another child in danger, and he like just snaps, and he like savagely beats this guy to death. It connects back. It's like you understand, like that trauma is just. And it was such a great effect, like 56-year-old Joel, like a lightning flash, and you see 36-year-old Joel. I thought that was extremely effective.
Yeah. No, it is. It is.
So are you gonna talk shit about the aging? Because like I just thought
I
like
don't
they
think
did.
Pedro looks really? 56. They put a splash of gray in his hair, but 56 is fucking old. Saying that as an almost 41-year-old, 56
hey,
is
man.
Fucking old.
Hey man, it's the wonders of diet and exercise and plastic surgery.
In the apocalypse, the fungal apocalypse. Yeah, that fungus really de-ages you. You get a little bit of that coursing through your veins.
How old is Pedro? Isn't he 50?
I don't know.
I think you're sucking the ghost of his youth's dick too hard or something. The man's 47 years old, so he's a year older than me.
So 9 years?
You're right.
I don't know, man.
I think they did, but when they flash back and forth, I think with between the hair, between he's a little bit thicker, I think, in the and just I think he kind of moves. Like when he gets up, he's got like, you know, I liked when, you know, he kind of like closes his eyes and boom, it's nighttime and he gets up and his shoulder's hurting and all. It's if you want to see a middle-aged man kick ass, this is going to be a show for you, I'm guessing.
And I guess he got the good genes, right? Like his hair is going to stay dark until he's 70 or whatever, and
I mean, yeah. Some people have all the luck. By the way, before we go much further, just so you know, everyone, it's on the live show with us, and there's just tons, man. I can't believe mm-hmm. there's over we got triple digits in the audience tonight. This is like House of the Dragon level excitement. Anything you can and do say in chat or do say in chat can and will be used for you in the instant talk, which will begin as soon as we're done with our little mini review. So yes, and that, and also don't forget TLOU, TLOU at baldmove.com is how you send long form feedback for what's probably going to be a feedback episode out Thursday. I'm guessing we're going to have a lot of feedback on this one.
I think the fungal apocalypse takes more of a toll on your body than working construction until you're 56.
I don't know.
You think
man,
he's worse that's... off in this apocalypse or better off?
Oof, because like this menial work takes it out of your body and soul. Like shoving True. Kids into the burn pile is laying bricks, you know.
Yeah,
laying bricks don't give you the deep sadness. It mm-hmm. gives you sadness, but not the deep sadness. That was Jesus. That too, the kid being I'm just thinking of all these brilliant scenes that kid being executed, where it's like you see the red flash on the scanner and then instantly she's like, oh, you're going to get all the toys and all the love and all the food. And it's like, oh, fuck.
I was confused by that because I thought red meant they weren't infected. But
really,
then the body, they showed the green shoes and I was like, oh, well, I was wrong about that.
Huh? You flash red for the test if it's a good thing, huh?
No, you're right. Like that doesn't make any sense. But also, red typically means like
you're the type of guy plays 60s music on the radio if things are in danger. You know, you just got everything wired backwards. 80s is all cool.
The mamas and the papas, baby. Yeah, yeah.
You're going to get people killed, Jim. You're going to get people
Screw
killed.
Me. I'll tell you don't where let I this get guy my design, LSD.
Don't let this guy design medical equipment. Okay, it's going to go bad. Anyway. Let's see, what else we want to talk about?
Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers have a chance to exercise their rights under the Patreon pact we've made by voting for the next pulp movie that Jim and I will be covering. If you're one of the elite few backers at the executive producer level, don't miss your chance to influence us. Hurry over to patreon.com/baldmove and vote in the latest movie poll before it closes on Wednesday morning.
And for all other club members, we've got an all-new episode of Lunch with Jim and Aaron this Friday afternoon. Catch the live stream at 1 p.m. to interact with us and your fellow munchers over on Patreon, or you can wait for the podcast to drop later that day.
If you want even more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds. Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info.
You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Oh boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today.
Dan, there's such good stuff. I thought like there's so many good creepy things too. Like when you first see the old lady, kind of like the fungus is experimenting with her brain, and she's doing a weird shit that nobody sees. And the way the mushroom people feed on their victims, that they're just, it's like a vampiric kind of thing.
You know, wondering, like, how are they going to do this initial outbreak? Because in the game, it's spores, and you can see like spores spreading uncontrollably to people because it's airborne or whatever. And they bring that up in the very first scene, right? But I'm thinking, okay, how do tendrils spread? Tendrils aren't something like what you're going to sit on the toilet and a toilet snake's going to come up and convert you. Like, I don't know. I didn't see it happening. Like, oh, they bite you, but then like they're just opening a fissure in your skin to get the tendrils in that comes out of mouth.
It seems like, yeah, the tendrils are very short range, but I wonder if some of them will have longer range. But I don't know. Like, the more I think about it, the more I think the spores probably wouldn't. It's a gameplay element, you know? It makes you put on the masks and it does this and that. I don't know that it really serves much purpose in the, you know, because it's not like there were sequences where you had to remember to put on the mask. Like it's just like when you walked into a building that had spores in it, they'd note it and put on their mask and that was that. So it's like, yeah, why would you want to put their, you know, cover these people's faces? Why'd you want a Mandalorian Pedro Pascal if you can just be like, ah, oh, fuck it, it's tendrils.
It's in his contract. I'll show my face more than 10 seconds at a time.
Yeah, the rest of the season, he's just going to be in a fucking level 3 biohazard gas mask. Mm-hmm. They also build the world really well. I think that introducing the fireflies and, you know, they have like narratives about them. They're a terrorist, but but they're also friends with Joel and they're trying to get this, girl that's some kind of hope for the future out. The way they're recruiting, it's kind of like a cult. Like you're kind of suspicious of it, but also you've got admiration for the Fedra. Like they're not evil, but they're not good. And it's like, you know, are they carrying things too far, executing people going out from behind? I don't know, because it's this fucking zombie apocalypse. People's appetite for martial law probably goes up in those kind of. I just thought the way they did the world building, the rations and everything, everything just worked, man.
It did. No, the thing that so I'm a Firefly sympathist, I guess. I'm sympathetic to their cause, like fighting a revolution against what is clearly a military dictatorship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing that gets me about Fedra is they have laws that say, or regulations that say, punishable by death, by hanging in the town square, no one can leave this place. That's a prison. That's a prison.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's slavery. That's not something I'm in for. So Fedra is evil.
Society collapses. We descend into barbarism. There's no Rick and Alexander lost. Right. They got rolled up by. Yeah.
No. So I'm on the Firefly side, like revolution against that. Yes. Count me in.
It's pretty grim. It's pretty grim. They got raiders and slavers. Like they're just like all these things about like, and that's the thing. It's like you think it's grim and Fedra controlled Boston, but like what you hear about the outside and the fact that it's full of fungus people and whatnot, it's like, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, it, nothing in this game, nothing in this world is like black and white. There's so much moral ambiguity. It's like, well, maybe you should do, like, I could do Fedra better. I don't know that I could do Fedra better. You know, if you're trying to keep the last embers of a dying species together and everyone has to fucking pull their, and but then there's also this thriving black mark. I mean, it's, yeah, I wouldn't want to be whatever fucking administrator is running the show.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be in this world, period. I just, yeah, if the zombies right. if the zombies take over the world, I'm just, yeah, I'm going to opt out. Got much else to say?
Probably, but I think I know that people have a lot of questions and a lot of stuff to say, so I'm kind of itching to get to the instant talk portion of the podcast. We are going to have a podcast Tuesday where we can just go deep dive on this whole thing. So
I was surprised how funny it was. Like everything up front with Joel and his daughter had to kind of work and click, and a lot of that was through kind of humor and, you know, Pedro being wry, and he just, like I said, he just really nails Joel. Just like the mannerisms, the way he kind of moves, the body language. It's just, I was just really in particular blown away by that whole performance. And I was surprised at how funny it was. Most of it's coming from, you know, Bella being just a rambunctious, irrepressible Ellie. But yeah, there's some real good stuff in there. So this is where we're going to stop the instant take. We're over the moon for this show so far. I don't know. I just feel like this season is going to be a lot of fun. I've heard no red flags, period, other than this first episode might be a little rough for some people. So if you got this and you're wanting more, I think we're going to be really pleased with this season. TLou@baldmove.com is how you want to send us feedback for either the main show or the feedback show if we get enough of it. If you want to join us on the Instant Talk episode live next week, join the club. If you want to get an archive of the Instant Talk after the episode, also join the club. Support.baldmove.com. We're going to head on over into the Instant Talk portion now.